Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable panel for this Tuesday morning. It's the 17th of November for those of you keeping score at home. Let me introduce the panel to you, and then we'll get right to the topics at large. And also, we'll invite you to be a part of our conversation because we feel that you're a vital part of it. Don't you agree, Ray?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I agree.
Excellent. Just keep it brief, all right, people? Keep it brief.
WAMC's Alan Shartok is here. Good morning, sir.
Hi, Joseph.
How are you?
Pretty good.
Yeah, you look good. Yeah, excellent. Ray Graff is here.
Hi, everybody.
This morning,
nice
WAMC Newsman Extraordinaire. Good to have you here.
No,
thank you very much.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
And Mike Spain joins us, as he does each and every Tuesday and other days when we beg him to, like yesterday.
You don't have to beg.
That's right. Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you for not making me have to beg. We welcome you. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Okay, a lot to talk about. There are so many aspects to this story about what is causing that?
Oh, you're hearing it too?
Oh, yes.
Okay, that's good, because it was just me being annoyed by that.
No.
So you're hearing a buzzing, guys?
Oh, terrible.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. All the people who have iPhones in the room, so if I put that over there, does that change?
No.
No, don't
worry about it.
Yeah.
Just the RF spewing devices get into our headphones.
So here's a question that I probably shouldn't be asking on the radio, but I'm going to ask it anyway, which is why today and yesterday and not before? Because, we all bring our devices in every day.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm.
I think we'll untangle the cords
sure
and put them in a...
very interested in this.
Well, I'm just curious.
We'll have a couple of meetings, two or three meetings, yeah. A couple of martinis. It'll be good.
I'm hoping people can actually hear us over the...
it's not coming over the air.
Oh,
it's just
doesn't
our
go
headphones.
Over the air?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It goes like zzzz.
Yes.
Like that.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't wear headphones, so I don't care.
There you go.
I have hearing aids, except that I don't use them because one got lost.
That's an amazing story.
Can we start again?
Yes. Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Roundtable panel. It's the 17th of November. Very nice to have you here. Mike Spain is with us. We have Ray Graff and Alan Shartok. And so here we go. Republican fury over illegal immigration and border security took on a new dimension Monday as a growing number of governors, presidential candidates, and members of Congress rushed to oppose or even defy President Obama's plan to resettle 10,000 Syrian refugees. That from the New York Times. Remember a few months ago when we saw the pictures of the child on the beach in... Oh, it's all gone.
Is it?
Yes.
No kidding. So it must be this one. Okay. Got it.
This has been an unmitigated disaster so far.
Okay, so...
A child on a beach in
a child
Greece?
In Turkey, I
in
believe.
Turkey, right.
In Turkey.
Yes, right.
Deceased on the beach, and it was a picture that went around the world and tugged at our heartstrings and obviously put something on the table that had been there for a very long time, which is the amount and number of people who were leaving Syria and who were seeking refuge elsewhere. So all the countries come many countries come to immediate aid, first and foremost Germany, Angela Merkel saying this is how many refugees we're going to take. And then we hear cries from around the world. There is a point where even the Pope says, please, whatever you can do to take these people in, they are in desperate need.
And he took a couple of families right into the Vatican.
Absolutely.
Which proportionally was probably more than any other country took. Look at the size of the Vatican.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a very good point. So then there's the issue of we tried to do what we can in the refugees. The United States comes in and says, okay, here's what we can do. And over several years, 2017, am I correct on that? I believe we would take so many defined number of refugees in this country. Then, of course, there's the terrorist attacks on Friday. We learn over the weekend that one of the eight terrorists who were involved in this was someone who forged documents as a Syrian refugee and got into the country illegally, and that is how he was able to help perpetrate this horrible crime. Okay, so now 25 Republican governors vowed to block the entry of Syrian refugees into their states, arguing that the safety of Americans was at stake after the Paris attacks by terrorists, including a man who entered Europe with a Syrian passport imposed as a migrant. That's my setup. What do you think?
Who first?
Go.
Okay, so I think this is disgusting. You know, these people who are fleeing for their lives. They are risking their lives in leaky boats which sink. Their children are put at terrible risk. They are going because there is no alternative to their going. One, as I have said before, one stinker gets in and everybody else is evaluated. We don't want these people because they had a stinker in there. Get the stinker. Make sure you do it right. Make sure you vet everybody who's coming in.
How?
Well, you know, how do we do anything when we admit people to this country? We look at them very carefully. Everybody who has parents who came to Ellis Island knows that. We can do it. We are the greatest nation in the world. We have every kind of facility to do this kind of work. And the idea that, because here's what I think is going on, that that Governor Baker, who I think has done a good job in Massachusetts up to this time, now puts his finger up in the air, sees which way the wind is blowing, and says, my people aren't going to like this.
What about no less a Democrat than Senator Charles Schumer, who was just on our news, saying...
I'm not quite through yet.
Mm. All right. Well, if we have time at the end, I'll bring something up. Go ahead.
No, but I think what happens is these guys are political. They know what people want, and people are ready to...
But is this what people want? I don't know. It seems like they think that's what people want.
Fear is going on right
They
now.
Want it. People are scared to death about all of this, and they say, okay, I don't mind if you read my email. I don't mind if you listen to my telephone conversations. I haven't done anything wrong, not until you start finding out that the government starts encroaching on all of the things that you do that have and have nothing to do with terrorism whatsoever.
I wish that we could rack up that quote. It was a short sound bite from Hank Gross's piece from Senator Schumer.
Yeah.
And I would love to be able to play that.
Do you have the Hank Gross piece still in the system?
It's a 57-second voicer, but the Schumer is quite a bit less than that.
Well, what did you say? You can just...
I prefer that you'd hear it in his voice.
Rob's finding it. He'll get it.
Well, it's interesting. Governor Shumlin in Vermont, our neighbor, he said that those who won't allow Syrian refugees into their states were, quote, stomping on the qualities that make America great.
He's right.
Isn't
of course he's right.
You know, give us your huddled masses. So what are we doing? What are we turning around and doing to people? And where is the humanity? This may be a faulty analogy, but I'm going to use it anyway. To Alan's point, because Ray asked the question about the vetting process. Well, it seems to me that people are always going to get through any vetting process. The airline that hired the German pilot who had mental issues, who put the plane into a mountain, obviously got through the screening process. So we're not going to be perfect every time.
Right. Peter King was on one of the morning talk shows rather screaming that there is no vetting process when it comes to Syrian refugees. There's no database. There's no record you can check. There's no way to really vet these people, and therefore we shouldn't let any of them in.
Well, by popular request, and your dedications and requests, the clip. I don't think we were able to isolate it, but here's the Hank Gross clip of Senator Schumer and what he had to say. Here you go.
Senator Charles Schumer in Newburgh Monday said he wants to tighten controls on refugees being allowed to come to the United States.
We have seen that ISIS may be smuggling in some of these refugees amidst others who have real humane needs. But even if it's 1 out of 1,000, the damage that would be caused would be terrible. And so the question is, can we check? We have a process. It's different than Europe, where people just cross the borders. Here, no one gets refugee status till they're checked out. But what is the status of the lists in Syria and elsewhere?
Orange County Emergency Services Commissioner Walter Corey said the region and the rest of the country is on alert.
Okay, so we played the story at the top of the hour, so I don't want to repeat the whole thing. But the clip was important. But that's different, isn't it? Where instead of saying we shouldn't let anybody in, he's saying we should be stronger in who we let in.
But don't you think that a lot of the governors and putting politics aside for a moment, want to see, and I think other lawmakers, including Schumer, want to see what this vetting process is. It's one thing to say, yeah, we check them. Yeah. It's quite another to say, well, how are you checking them?
I couldn't agree with you more. I think you're right. I think if you're going to do it, you got to do it right, and you got to put in everything that you can do to make sure that nobody's slipping through, and this country can certainly do it. But Chuck Schumer, let's talk about him for a minute. I love the guy. He's a friend. He comes in here. We all think highly of him. He's a funny guy, but he makes mistakes. He wanted to go into Iraq, you may remember, and he made that mistake. He has on several occasions taken positions which are, I would say, you know, meant to be political. And I, you know, while I have great affection for the guy, just because he says something doesn't mean he's right about it. He's not.
I want to get back to something real quick, Alan, that you said, which, I mean, is on the heels of your thoughts on Senator Schumer. President Obama yesterday, speaking to reporters of the G20 summit, said that the United States has a moral obligation to accept refugees, as European nations have done. And he criticized Republican candidates like Senator Ted Cruz and former Governor Jeb Bush of Florida, who have said the United States should focus on protecting Christians fleeing warfare and persecution as opposed to Muslims.
That's terrible.
How do we allow that?
How do we allow what? A guy to open his mouth and have a baloney come out of it?
Well, as you say, you said it first, which was this is what the people, they put their finger in the air and this is what the people want. Well, why do the people want that?
Well, because they're more Christian than they are Muslim. Right?
Well, it's a populist position to hold. People are not as frightened of Christians as they are of Muslims. That's because they're not as comfortable and they don't know as many Muslims as they do Christians. And their political base is Christians,
right.
You know, fundamentalist Christians, you know, Ted Cruz and Jeb Bush. And it's a very popular thing to say. And Christians are being persecuted in Syria. I mean, they're in a desperate situation because they have no place, nobody protecting them.
And in Egypt, where the cops got their heads lopped off.
Right.
Well, let's see.
It's popular.
What am I hearing here?
What you're hearing is that the politicians have put their finger in the air, and they see that people are more comfortable accepting Christians than Muslims. So accept the Christians, don't accept the Muslims.
But I'm surprised that the president is taking such heat from the presidential candidates. That's a given.
About letting refugees
but
in. But to discriminate that way is
who said
outrageous.
That?
Well, the president said that's not what we are.
That's exactly right.
I love that.
Cruz who said that?
Cruz and Jeb Bush. Both
Cruz,
have made
Jeb Bush, and also,
to it.
And also, I mean, I was listening to Mike Huckabee last night,
yeah,
and
Huckabee.
I thought my head was going to explode. I mean, I just. He and Cruz wasn't far behind him of saying, you know, that this president has let us down and letting these killers into this country. And I mean, we saw this after 9/11, where there was an anti-Muslim sentiment, and it was very strong. And I mean, in some degree, as you say, because of fear, understandable to an extent. Meaning that you understand the fear, but you do hope that at some point logic will take over.
Right, rationality.
And an understanding that rationality will allow us. And again, to broaden out our conversation for a second, I know you want to get in, Ray, but that idea that the president has of, hey, look, we don't want to have a knee-jerk reaction here. We don't want to immediately put troops on the ground. We don't immediately want to do this. We want to continue doing what we're doing. We don't want to be knee-jerk to one thing. And I don't. I guess I'm confused as to what's wrong with that.
Hey Joe, when people are scared, they're scared. Korematsu, you know, the Japanese internment. It was terrible. Because we know we had divisions of Japanese soldiers going to fight for the United States, and doing and improving, and they were putting, we basically put these folks in concentration camps. That's where they were. You can use any kind of name you want, but that's what it was.
Yeah,
it was because
camps.
It was because people were scared. And people are scared right now, and the politicians who want to be president no matter what are going to play on that, and that's all. And how long was it going to be before somebody's going to start with, you know, of course Obama did it because he's not really a Christian, he's really something else. You know, it's disgusting stuff, and it's just our
but
most basic
But then you have all
instincts.
These governors
yes.
coming to the coming
well, we just
to
heard
the
from my
they're
friend
playing
Jim.
To the fears of people, and they're also playing politics with it. It's the Obama bashing that's going on right now about his talk yesterday in Turkey and his
press
conference.
Do you feel it's unwarranted?
Well, I think they're pretty harsh on him. They're saying that his tone was passive. He's the kind of guy that tries to be calm. And when he is and not emotional, people beat him up for it. And when he's emotional, people beat him up for it. It's the way it is with a lame duck president 6 years into his presidency.
Well, they haven't exactly waited for him to be lame duck. They've been doing it from
yeah,
right.
From
right.
Day
that's
one.
Exactly right.
Ray, you wanted to make a point. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It was long past.
But okay.
But right. Ray always, you can always sort of extract Ray's point by seeing what question he just asked.
No, and I think, again, the voices in your head are speaking, and we'll discuss this during the break.
All right. Speaking of a break, let's take that,
yes.
And we'll catch up on some underwriting and all that good stuff. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. Good morning. Welcome to The Roundtable. I'm sorry, Ray made a funny as we were going in, and we're responding to it. I don't know how much the microphone caught of that.
I don't think it caught anything,
good.
Thankfully.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Proving again that the best comments are made off the microphone.
And by the way, nothing...
nothing rude.
Nothing
at this
rude
time,
or dirty.
But this just, particular one was actually
yes,
clean.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable panel. Alan Chartok is here. Ray Graff is here. And Mike Spain making up the panel. Rosemary is out. She'll be back tomorrow. Libby. You know, by the way, we should have mentioned this yesterday.
Yeah.
Libby, our own Libby Post, was in Paris when the bombing occurred and was in Europe. And she joined us on the air on Saturday morning. And, you know, told about the frightening situation. But so anyway, we were very glad. It was the first person I obviously thought of. And I think, you know, so many of us did. And she was very quick to let us know that she was fine. But she'll be back when she returns to the country. And so tomorrow we'll have other people on. Alan, we have many, many letters.
Oh, boy, we have letters. Okay. Our good friend Jules, who checks in quite frequently. In an election year, it's all politics. Remember the famous McConnell statement, the single most important thing we want to achieve is for President Obama to be a one-term president. Okay. Then we heard from somebody else. Yes. We heard from...
Spam!
Heard from Bonnie. Panel Dash is motivated by one goal to achieve and suicide vests to limit our post-op intelligence gathering. Western countries have multiple urgent goals, refugees versus security, pulling in different directions. Is it anyone wonder we've been foisted on our own petards?
Well, Shakespeare.
Okay. So,
when did we come to using the term Dash, by the way?
It's been around.
I first heard it Saturday with Helinda.
Used President Owen. Yeah,
it's somewhat
it's
of a
it's an acronym, I think.
It's pejorative, though, isn't it?
I don't know.
I thought it was a somewhat derogatory term. We'll have to find that.
Yes,
I think it is. ISIS dash the Islamic State of the Levant. You know, different.
I believe Ray though is right because
yeah.
in the coverage that I heard, it was that the president using it was a sign that it was not.
He has had enough.
Yeah,
c'est plein pour moi.
It's D-A-E-S-H, yeah.
Right.
And it is accurately translated from Arabic, is short for, I can't even pronounce that word, I guess basically it's extremist group.
And by the way, I wanted to mention that at least when I was in school, they used to do these regular, you know, sociological studies of which groups Americans dislike the most.
Yeah.
And Arabs were always at the top of the list.
Huh.
So I just, I'm not saying I feel that way. I'm just telling you that there is that natural pre-existing prejudice that we begin with. Anyway.
It's not natural, but it is pre-existing.
Okay. Karen says, so tired of people calling themselves Christian but not following the principles of Christianity. What would Jesus have done regarding the refugees? Says Karen.
I like that letter.
That's a good question.
He probably would have been one.
And Marley says, the attacks in Paris are just the latest troubles heaped onto the smoking rubble of 9/11. Until we make sense of 9/11, none of today's terror can be understood in any realistic context. Wars will continue to rage, refugees will continue to flow, and nothing will ever make sense as long as we allow the 9/11 lie to persist. Well, you know, I read it, but I don't agree with it. Okay, so then Cody says, let's assume that one or more of the refugees that the U.S. takes in will be involved in an attack here. Is this an acceptable risk to take help all, to take to help all other refugees? Is the life of a refugee worth more or less than an American? Shouldn't we blame the perpetrator and punish him or her and not the vast majority of refugees? That was from Cody. Daniel says, they from Dash, they do not like it, and it will cut out the and will cut out the tongue of people caught using it around them.
The term Dash. Yeah.
I see. Gotcha. Very interesting. Thank you for that. Marilyn says,
here to help.
Hello, panel. Did you want to say something?
Hello.
Okay. Please refer to right-wing Christians when referring to those who would seek to prevent Muslims from entering the U.S. mainline. Progressive Christians work to help refugees of every stripe, especially those who are fleeing violence at the hands of terrorists. We do not believe that Muslim equals terrorist. And what about the innocent children? And Denise says,
another good letter.
The Republican governors are playing politics. They are the same people who ginned up hatred against France. Anyone remember Freedom Fries? I'm embarrassed by Senator Schumer. Guess he doesn't remember that this country tried to keep Jews fleeing the Holocaust out of the U.S., and the State Department at the time had the fear that refugees could be blackmailed into becoming agents for Germany. I am proud of President Obama, she says. And then, let's see. Jim says, if I was in charge of ISIS, this is an opportunity of a lifetime to place agents throughout the world to carry out acts of terrorism. Most refugees do not have papers, birth certificates, etc. I'm all for helping less fortunate, but sometimes we need to err on the side of caution. Or it may have been a joke because he said to err on the side of caution.
Oh, it could have been one of those autocorrects.
I think that was an autocorrect. Yeah. Yeah, that's what
but it also could have been profound. If you think about it.
It was a profound autocorrect.
No, yeah.
Was it written by Daniel Murphy?
Okay. And what people are afraid of and why, says Steve. It's patently absurd to say, as one panelist did, that Americans are more afraid of Muslims than they are of Christians because they don't know many Muslims and they know a lot of Christians. Anybody remember hearing that?
I didn't hear that.
I kind of said something like that.
Yeah, so
Cell phone is putting hum in my headphones, so I'm not really hearing anything.
Yes. The reason that there is any fear at all of Muslims is that the overwhelming majority of terror attacks against Western interests have been perpetrated by Muslim extremists. I would add that it is an error.
Timothy McVeigh, was he Muslim? I don't know.
Right.
I would add that it is an error to say that Americans are afraid of Muslims when, in fact, most would likely say they are afraid of radicalized Muslims. Well, except that we're dealing with a whole other thing here in terms of whether those Muslims that they're not afraid of would be allowed into certain states.
Right, that's right.
Precisely.
Yeah, getting to the betting point.
Hello, all.
Hello.
Has it occurred to anyone that the passport may have been left behind because ISIS wanted it to be found to derail the refugees?
I think that's a good point. I think that's exactly what they wanted.
Yeah. What terrorist walks around with ID?
Well, if it's a fake ID to get in, right?
And yeah, I mean, has it been determined? I mean, are they certain that it was a refugee that came through the refugee path? That's certainly what it would indicate. But
Christian says, one man forges documents to enter France illegally as a Syrian refugee and commits mass murder, and many state governments in the U.S. are scrambling to block refugees. But on what seems a near weekly basis, we have some U.S. citizens basically, quote, forging their gun owner permits by passing an extremely flawed vetting process for owning a firearm in this country, and more. And then and roundtables from Ramon. I do not disregard the various points of view, but without Ray, the roundtable will be as balanced as the commentary that can be found on Fox News. Thank you for having Ray as part of the panel. So you think Ray is...
Megadiddos, my friends.
Megadiddos. So you think Ray
Excellence.
Is... Excellence. Yeah, because Ray is a very good newsman.
And Excellence in Broadcasting not, Network. EIB.
Okay, so then... Anne says, isn't it ironic that people are terrified by attacks in theaters and arenas in Paris by Daesh when we've had more attacks in the same venues by probable Christian gunmen? Yes?
Perhaps, but I think...
Oh, you mean you were talking about the people who go into theaters and...
Theaters, shoot, right? I guess, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Carolyn, no, that's a press release. Okay. Corey says... No, we already read one by Corey. That's enough, Corey.
Yeah, one to a customer. Yeah, yeah. Come on now. Forget about it.
Forget about that. And James says, Jeb was on CBS News yesterday morning. And
yes,
he didn't,
was.
And he didn't shine. He seems unprepared to answer questions, only to make hawkish statements. When he repeatedly asked by Nora O'Donnell if he would send thousands of American troops back to the Middle East, he appeared very uncomfortable. Couldn't answer, and danced around the issue. Then he said, maybe we should only accept Christian refugees. He often speaks in the form of a question. Odd. Oh, boy. Patrick says, the current conflicts in the Middle East are reminiscent of the wars between Catholics and Protestants, which occurred in Europe in the 16th and 17th centuries, resulting in the death of millions. There are terrorist groups who associated themselves with Sunni and Shia components of Islam, ISIS and Al-Qaeda with the Sunnis and Hezbollah with the Shiites. Until such a time as established political and religious leaders in the area agree that their differences do not merit violence, these conflicts will continue.
Do we have, I know we're running out of time. So is this the topic on Vox Pop today?
This is the topic on Vox Pop today.
Okay, so if people want to get in, they can do that.
That's
too.
A great idea.
Yes, as usual,
Vox
you're
Pop.
Right on the moment.
Okay, so let's take a break and come back and try to get some other topics, because easily there's another 100 letters that we could read. So,
there are a lot.
We won't be able to get to everyone. So let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about some other stuff, and we'll be back right after this.
Support for WAMC comes from Turning Stone Resort Casino, presenting the Learning Institute Conference for Small Business and Entrepreneurs on March 9th and 10th with keynote speaker Jack Welch, turningstoneinstitute.com. Charles Padula, DDS, Union Avenue, Schenectady, offering cosmetic dentistry, including porcelain laminates, crowns, implants, and Invisalign orthodontics, PadulaDDS.com. Audio Video Corporation, offering design and integration services for the boardroom, the conference room, and the classroom since 1946. AudioVideoCorp.com. And Hudson Beach Glass Beacon, a contemporary glass and jewelry gallery representing 80 American artists. HudsonBeachGlass.com.
All right. We're going to continue on in the roundtable this morning and talk about other issues. And so, as we mentioned, we got a lot of letters about this particular issue on immigration and Syrian refugees. We'll talk more about this on Vox Pop today at 2 o'clock and, of course, be covering it throughout our news programs today. So let's go to another controversial issue, and that's abortion. The U.S. Supreme Court has said it will consider a challenge to a controversial Texas abortion law. Backed by Republicans, the law places high standards on clinics and puts new requirements on doctors that provide abortions in the state. Proponents of the law says that it is necessary to protect women's health. Opponents say that argument is an excuse to cover up efforts aimed at shutting abortion clinics and making the procedure harder to obtain. The case focuses on a part of the law that is yet to go into effect, requiring abortion clinics in Texas to have hospital-grade facilities, a requirement that would require costly upgrades at many providers' offices. Mm. So the court once again takes up the issue of abortion.
It's a risky thing for proponents and opponents, I guess, of legalized abortion, because the court, it's uncertain which way they might go. And they could rule in favor of these laws in Texas, and that might give other states that are where there's a strong anti-abortion, sentiment to enact similar laws, and it will restrict what has been recognized as a legal right in the United States. It will restrict how many people can have option to these services, and change the and just make it more restrictive. Or it could clear the way for people in Texas to have more access to these services. It's a gamble either way.
Well, you know, this court is a Republican court. There are 5 Republicans and 4 Democrats, basically. And they have in the past upheld the right for a woman to have control over her own body. To me, this becomes a very, very scary, as you say, Mike, as I think you said, very scary proposition, because basically it could be the end. And I hate this. The idea that women would be disenfranchised in this country, and that if somebody needs to have an abortion, it isn't their business and they can't do it, and a bunch of lugs in a state legislature will make sure they can't have it.
How do you think it would be the end?
Yeah, it wouldn't be the end.
No, it could be the end, because there'll be so many of these.
Meaning a domino effect.
Yes, exactly what Mike said. So many of these places where a state legislature says, a man-dominated state legislature, by the way, says, we're going to make it so onerous that you can't possibly get one. It'll be so difficult. And so that's what I mean by the end.
And most surgical procedures are going out of hospitals and into these buildings. Like, just drive along Washington Avenue, and there's all these specialty buildings that do all kinds of procedures. So it's a difficult argument to make that they can't provide safe services outside of a hospital. But that's sort of the loophole they're using to really restrict the access.
We could get into this, but then we would get into the merits of abortion. I would say, who are these people to say what you should do? Why? And somebody else would say, don't you know it's murder? And we would get into all of that stuff.
So how does the court stay away from exactly what you're talking about?
Well, the court has ruled that abortion is legal, basically. Now the question is, are the people who appointed the justices demanding their pound of flesh and saying, all right, you did what you had to do in that other thing, but now I expect you, John Roberts and group, to do the right thing, which is the reason we had you appointed. Is that too cynical?
Do you know, Mike, I read somewhere that this case goes back to 1992. Do you know how that is?
I know it's been a long time, and it's been a battle that's been fought in Texas for various administrations.
Because I know the shutting down of the clinics, I thought, was something relatively new, and I thought it was a newer law, but I guess this goes back quite a ways.
Yeah, I was surprised to hear 1992, but it seems like it's been around for a long time. But I mean, I guess the question is, will they act politically and, respond to the people that put them in the Supreme Court, or will they rule strictly on the merits of the law and whether or not that restricts people from a legal right that the court has previously established?
Well, nicely said, but of course that's why they're doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, we know why they're doing it. They're doing it to stop women from getting abortion. If you're a poor woman, you can't get on a plane and fly to this or that. If you're well-heeled, you can.
We let's move on to one other topic, and that is the report out of Baltimore and the in response to Freddie Gray's death, and the first independent review of the Baltimore Police Department's response to riots in April of this year found, quote, major shortcomings, and said officers were unprepared and untrained for the scale and scope of the unrest. The far-reaching review was conducted by the Police Executive Research Forum, an independent organization based in Washington and released Monday by the police department. It examined the department's handling of the unrest that followed the death of Freddie Gray, an unarmed 25-year-old black man who suffered a spinal cord injury while in police custody. It cited numerous problems, including excessive noise and confusion in the department's command center, officers who did not have clear guidance on whether to make arrests, and riot helmets and shields so severely lacking that they cracked when they were hit by rocks. Not good.
Yeah, it's quite an indictment of the police department and their lack of preparedness for a situation like this. It said there was no plan. There was confusion over who was in charge. There were no policies, clear policies for who would be arrested and who wouldn't. There was, as you said, inadequate riot gear that protected the police. And it was uncertainty about coordinating aid from other law enforcement agencies and just a confusion about the chain of command altogether. And that's a dangerous situation. And it got out of hand.
Yeah. However, the report was not about the justice offered to one human being.
No, yeah. It wasn't. This was about how police handled the response.
Whether the cops could or whether the police could respond correctly and efficiently. And I think everybody, including the police department, agrees that it couldn't. So, but it didn't deal with, the
separate
the cause
issue
of the riot.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Wouldn't you, and maybe this is, and I don't mean this to be cynical. I just mean this in a practical sense. But don't you think that most municipalities wouldn't be ready for that type of violence and surge that we saw?
No, I mean, locally in the capital region, it's interesting. The Times Union has a story today about how the city of Troy got a grant and paraded out all their new riot gear, enough to equip 12 officers. And they say that they're going to be joint training with Schenectady and Albany. Should there be a need for, large crowd control if things get out of hand? Some people are cynical. Why are we planning for riots here in Albany, Schenectady, and Troy? And yet it's important to have a plan should there be some kind of civil unrest, some kind of demonstration, so that people are not injured, so that there's some clear message that goes out. It really requires getting your act together, and yet, you don't like to even acknowledge that you want to have a plan for covering that kind of thing.
Well, I think that part of the problem here was that the plan was a poor one. And I'll quote the New York Times way down in the article. Officers were initially told to shy away from arrests, to report to work in their regular uniforms without gloves or helmets, and to take a, quote, soft approach when handling demonstrations. As the protests became more violent, commanders were reluctant to stray from that initial order. I mean, isn't this a classic flaw of management?
Yeah, yes, I think you've described it. I mean, bad form.
Well, let me try the other side, Ray, if I may. There's also the psychology that was being offered here. And as you read this, it made sense not to exacerbate the situation and make it worse. Don't do arbitrary arrests. Don't do the rest of this stuff because that'll only make things worse. I that would be my takeaway from what you just
Absolutely.
Read.
Absolutely. But as it escalates,
yes.
And the officers did do exactly that, and they took into account the psychology of a situation. But as it escalates, they were still sticking to that policy. That's a management issue.
Well, there's a greater question here, and that is what we're talking about, how you are going to contain crowds in that may have either just cause or be very affected by what has happened, and they are just the anger is just coming out of their heads because they think that their kids and everybody else are either walking while black or driving while black or running while black, and therefore the emphasis that we're doing here is on the crowd control and not on the other issues.
But that's what the report was about, though, right?
Well, I know, but that's interesting, isn't it? That what we have is a report on the crowd control as opposed to the larger issues, which have also been done. Of course, somebody's going to say that, but really, look at where our discussion is being put right now.
Well, that's exactly right, but I think the two are not unrelated. How the Baltimore police responded to Freddie Gray, and they put him in the back of this police van and then barreled around corners deliberately, this is the allegation, deliberately to throw him around inside there to teach him a lesson, and in fact they killed him doing that. That's what has been charged by the grand jury. So in that case, they were not acting properly. So when people began to engage in violence, I mean, people were burning down buildings, they were throwing rocks, they were damaging public property and private property. That's wrong. The same police department that mishandled Freddie Gray now was in charge of handling that situation, and according to this report, they didn't handle that very well either. So it's quite an indictment of the police department in Baltimore.
And finally, we have about a minute and a half left. The story that is making the headlines today is Charlie Sheen revealed that he was HIV positive during a live interview with Matt Lauer and NBC's Today Show, saying that he wanted to put a stop to this onslaught, this barrage of attacks, saying, "I am, in fact, HIV positive." He said that he had paid people into the millions to stay quiet about the diagnosis, that his money taken away from my kids. He said that he has known about the diagnosis for about 4 years.
Well, you know, I mean, I think it's good that he's coming clean. However, the tabs are having a heck of a time with it. They're putting him in the midst of four or five women. With his arms around all of them and their arms around him. You know, he has not exactly led what many of us would call a moral or exemplary life.
Well, listen, I feel bad for him, but ultimately, at the end of the day, Western civilization is crumbling, so I care not for this story. One iota. Good luck.
Well, it just underscores the need to have protected sex when
it does.
In situations
it's
like
this. It's also about celebrity.
Yes, and celebrities, right. But you make a good point, Ray. In the context of today's discussion, this is less of an issue. Yeah.
All right. I'm just going to let that simmer for a moment, and then we'll say goodbye,
goodbye
this morning. Ray Graff, thank you very much. Ray's already leaving,
by the way. I left about 5 minutes ago. I got to be honest with you.
Alan and Mike, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Roundtable will continue. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.